Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're had a couple weeks. In fact, we've had probably 4 or 5 weeks. Chapters 8 and 9 were dealing with, you know, the sacrifice and giving of believers, right? Not just financial giving, though last week in the passage that concluded chapter 9, it was the context, the discussion was on financial giving. Well, we're going in a completely new direction, and some of you are like, well, praise the Lord for that. But maybe I am as well, because I'd prefer to preach on other things. But this morning is a critical message, and I want to show you this. Look in chapter 10, verse 1, Paul says, "Now I myself beseech you." Then look at verse 2, he says, "But I beseech you." Now for my front row scholars, what does beseech mean? To call, beseech. Beseech. Let's see the ladies. My row 2, scholarettes. Alright, beseech. Beg. I beg you, right? So he says in verse 1, I beg you. And then he says in verse 2, I beg you. So this is an important topic. We're going to cover the first 6 verses of chapter 10. So I want you to pay attention though. I beseech you. I beg you. This is a big deal. So we need to pay attention to this. Yeah, we need to pay attention to all of the Word of God. But here's what's funny. Justin's favorite terms when Jesus says, verily, verily. Right? When we're doing Bible studies, Justin always kind of gets tickled out of that because we don't say verily, verily today, right? It just means truly, truly, he's wanted to say, this is true. Pay attention. This is a big deal, right? So, verily, verily. That's for you, Justin. I'll always give you one verily, verily every week. But this morning he says, I beg you, I beseech you, I beg you. What does Paul want? He loved these people, right? He loved these people as though they were his own flesh and blood because they were his spiritual children. And he was used of God to establish this work. He spent 18 months there, and he wants them to get this, the big deal. Let's look at the first 6 verses, chapter 10. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in all readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Now let's just walk through. I want to kind of give you an overview of, I want to make sure you follow me as we go through this. So here's what Paul's saying. Now let's just walk through each of the verses just to say, what did we just read? And then we'll kind of dissect a little bit more. Paul says this. He says, I'm begging you. He says, I'm begging you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Fascinating. If you're in Sunday school this morning, we covered meekness quite a bit this morning. And so Paul's saying this, I'm begging you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Eric, I didn't say this morning. I love hearing from everybody else because you all hear from me way too much. But And it was all in that, another word for it is submission. Right? So you think about that. You think about what Jesus did. He submitted to the will of the Father, right? And so Jesus, when he put on flesh, he submitted to the death of the cross, right? Submission to God is a part of meekness as well. And so Paul says this, I beg you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Now this is important. So this is how Paul deals with this. So when we have something that's near and dear to our heart, you know, we want to beg. In fact, we actually want to force people to do things, right? But here's what Paul says this. If Paul could force them to take heed of this, he would. Part of me says, if I could force you to do something, I would too. But you see, that's not the Lord's ways, is it? It's not to force us to do things, but there is this pleading, there is this begging, but it's by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And so that's important, right? And we think about this as parents, we think about this in whatever situation, you want your kids to do what's right. And it's what we need to do when we're instructing, when we're begging, when we're trying to get folks to do what's right. Have the meekness and gentleness of Christ, right? Versus trying to force people and beat things on them and beat them up. That's not the Lord's way, but the meekness and gentleness of Christ. So Paul says, here, I want to beg you with that spirit. I want to beg you with the meekness and gentleness of Christ. He says this, he says, now I, Paul, who in presence am base among you. So now you're going to see this later in chapter 10. We won't get there. So what is that about? So when you're reading this, I think some of you would go, I don't know. The first part, now I Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. Paul says, who in presence am base among you. What we're going to find out here in just a week or two. Paul was nothing to be looked at. It's funny, yesterday I was returning a trailer at U-Haul, right? So Paul was this guy, he was short, he was nothing, you know, physically, you know, to be looked upon. But yesterday somebody said, you remind me of this actor. You know, I said, Brad Pitt, I know. And so he said, no, but then he named some actor I've never heard of, right? And so then when he showed me, I'm like, well, no, I don't remind you of that guy. And so it was, but Paul, nothing about him physically was impressive. So he says this, he says, he's writing to them, he says, who in presence I'm base among you. When I'm standing among you, Corinthians, ain't nobody can say, hey, man, that guy. Nothing impressive about Paul, but he says this, but being absent and bold toward you. So he is revered by some and hated by others. So he's writing here and he says, when I'm present with you, there's nothing. You'll go like, Paul even wasn't a great speaker. That ought to encourage us as well that it's not the speaking ability that makes the difference. You understand that? Isn't that good news? It's the Word of God. It's the truth that changes lives. Doesn't mean that we should try to stand up and be boring. But Paul apparently wasn't a great speaker. But you know what he had? He had the Holy Spirit and he had the truth and the Word of God. That's the powerful thing. He said, but being absent, I'm bold towards you. You all listen to me when I'm not here. But when I'm here, you don't listen to me. He says this, but I beg you that I may not be bold when I am present. He says that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence. So here's what he did. He said, I want you to listen to what I'm writing because I don't want to have to deal with this when I come. I don't want to have to be so bold. I don't want to have to instruct you about this when I come. This is something that you need to get without me there. So that's what he's saying there in verse 2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some. So some, he said, some really need this, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. So now there were some accusations here. People were accusing Paul. They're saying Paul was walking after the flesh. And so for some of you, what that means is walking after the flesh, it's just the body. You know, the body desires things. And what we do is if we let our body drive us to our choices, it's not going to be a life that honors Jesus Christ. If all we do is let our natural desires drive our behavior and drive our lives, it won't be a life that honors Jesus Christ. But some people were accusing Paul of that. He says this now in verse 3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So here's the reality. Every single one of us, we have a body, right? He says, so though we walk in the flesh, that's not our battle. We'll talk about that in just a second. Then he says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Carnal would be, there's several meanings of that, you know, but it's you've heard of a carnivore, right? What kind of animal is that? A meat-eating animal, right? And so he says this, so for the weapons of our warfare are not after the flesh, are not carnal, right? So that's what he means. We'll talk about that. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then what he says is he's dealing with, we'll look at this in just a second. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself. We're going to talk about that. What's he talking about in verse 5? And then there's great victory in verse 6. So let's first just look at this. It is, so when Paul says this, it's critically important. So here's what he says. Our weapons are not carnal. So now what he says is it's important. Listen, he says this. He says, verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He says this, for our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So here's what he's saying. What he's saying about this. I've got examples. So you think about our flesh. Our flesh. How do you and I, we want a war in the flesh? I just wrote some things down. So I was thinking of our words, because our speech is from the body, right? Our minds are part of our body. Physically, you know, our bodies physically. So these are the ways we war. And so then what we do is we then use our bodies, and I say it's we money. So here's what I say, words. He says our warfare is not of the flesh. So here's Christian, we ought to be different about this. And what's killing me is I'm not. Right? But I love this because I love the reminder. Here's what the Bible says. We shouldn't be people that are just warring with our words and warring against people and tearing people down. That shouldn't be a trait of a Christian. But if you're like me, you see, you got to understand this. Whatever you believe, right? God's given me the gift of gab or maybe speaking a little bit. But you understand this. Whatever your gift is also your curse. So I know you guys pray for me, and you know this, that I can be mean-spirited. And it's just not with my thoughts, it'll come out from my lips. You see, but what I've got to remember, and what I love is this, is my weapons are not carnal. You know, you say, okay, well, I don't say it with my lips, but you do with social media. Right? You ever see somebody, man, I've seen them go on rants on social media, right? Because they forget, they think their weapons of their warfare are carnal. Christians should be different. Our weapons aren't carnal. We shouldn't be cutting anybody down with our words. We shouldn't be cutting anybody down with words that are written. Our weapons aren't carnal. We're going to find out what our weapons are, but they're not carnal. Our weapons aren't our mind. We're not going to outthink somebody. We're not going to, you know, we're not going to outmaneuver someone, right? I recently had somebody in the last few weeks, you know, this is just part of ministry, right? And they looked at me and said, I'm going to sue you. You know, I mean, I thought, that's not a weapon. But you know what? If they sue me, what are they going to take? They can't take my soul. I had somebody tell me not too long ago. They said, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't say this in front of the kids. They said, go to hell. They told me that. And I said, you don't decide that. You know, and so it's, you know, so what they do is, you know, they're gonna outthink me. They're gonna outmaneuver me. They're gonna use strategy. See, Christians, I'm not opposed to strategy. I'm not opposed to thinking. But here's the key. It's, you know what? Is that our strategy? If it doesn't work out, we're gonna sue somebody? And I'm not saying that, you know, a lawsuit is always unbiblical. But is that where we go right away? I don't think we should, as Christians, right? I mean, you understand this, right? Just so you know, right? That the members of Hope Baptist Church, right? It's maybe you didn't know this, because I don't go into every element of minutia, but we've all agreed that we're not going to sue one another that are members of Hope Baptist Church. We're going to figure it out. We're going to work it out. So all you need to do is just leave the membership and then sue the pants off somebody here. That's not the principle. What we want is we want a church that we love each other, get along, right? Because those aren't our weapons. Our weapons aren't carnal, are they? And then what we do, you know, isn't this what we see in society? It's, I don't like you, man, I'm going to bust you in the chops, right? I'm going to physically overpower you. See, those are weapons of the flesh. They're weapons that aren't really the weapons that God intends, right? I love this, right? You understand this? I'll tell you up front. Unless it's in clear self-defense. If I ever strike somebody, man or woman, I'm disqualified. You need to remove me from the pastorate. You understand that? Because the Bible says there ought not to be a brawler or a striker. You know, so, and so, because as a pastor, I should be a better example than that, right? But the principle is this. None of us ought to be a striker. None of us ought to be a brawler, because our weapons aren't carnal. Our weapons aren't fleshly, are they? I mean, God's going to protect us, right? And I'm not saying we aren't going to be trying to be responsible, right? But I know this, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to trust in the Lord. They're not carnal. The final one that I had here is money, right? These aren't our weapons either. It's not that we try to lord our money, or we're going to outspend someone or outdo someone. You see, those aren't our weapons, right? And you see that all the time. Money equals, in our society, equals power, doesn't it? The most powerful people in the world are the richest people in the world. You see, Christians, though, what we have to do is we have to be careful that we don't go to these carnal weapons, because that's not what a Christian should be. So I'm going to ask you this, and I'm going to take you there, but just so you're not, nobody's allowed to look in their Bibles right now. So Randall looks up, so I want to ask you this, what are our weapons? There's seven specifically talked about in Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll look at those. Seven. How many of them do you know? Seven. And we're going to turn to Ephesians, and not right now. So our weapons aren't carnal. You know, I'm not saying that we shouldn't be thinkers. I'm not saying that we ought not to protect ourselves. I'm not suggesting all of that. But I want to tell you, our first line of defense is not the flesh. The Bible gives us spiritual weapons. What are they? Seven of them. Anybody remember? The helmet of salvation. We're going to talk about that. I would love to ask you right now. The helmet of salvation. What is that about?
I'm a little helmet here.
Right? Helmet of salvation. Helmet of salvation. Then I heard one. Prayer. That's, I got five more to go.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. It is a great blessing, Sandy, but I don't think that's in the Ephesians chapter. Breastplate of righteousness, right? The belt of truth. You got the belt of truth on this morning. You know what the belt of truth is? You're going to learn today. That's so good because that's why I'm covering it. Because you're like, belt of truth. I know the belt of truth, but I don't know what it is. You have another one? You know what the belt of truth is? What is the belt of truth? What's that? Oh, that's good. That's good. You know what? You know, I think Jaden here, I think he knew that he knew what it was, and you all might not have. He said the belt of truth was telling someone something that's true. We'll talk about that. So that's four. I think I heard another one. The sword. Who said that? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God, right? Okay, five. Well, shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, right? The gospel of peace. So the gospel, right? The gospel. All right, and now there's one more. There's one more. The shield of faith. Those are seven. Now turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And what I want to do is, I want you to turn there, and then I want to talk about these, because remember, this is important. This is important. This is important that, you know, I love that you know what they are, but sometimes, so, all of these ladies here are teenagers because Maddie turns 13 on Tuesday, right? So it's a big deal, right? Teenager, right? And so I almost don't have any teenagers. You know, six more months or something, I won't have any teenagers. So this is important. Have you ever taken a test, ladies, in the second row? And you got the answers right, but you had no idea what you were talking about. I got a college degree like that. Right, so it was. I joke with folks. How many have business degrees here? Unimpressive. Just Roy's like, no, mine. I really worked at it. No, business degrees. Roy, was yours in engineering? Your bachelor's, okay. Oh, so you're talking your MBA. Was it a joke? Okay, well, maybe not. Maybe yours was different. But it's good. But your engineering degree is a little bit, you know, took a little bit more work, but business, okay, I probably shouldn't. So I wasn't trashing on everybody. But anyway, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. So our weapons aren't carnal. So what are our weapons? What are they? Look at, and you've named all seven, but let's look at this, verse 13. I want you to see in the Word of God. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So now this is the purpose. We want to stand spiritually. We want to honor Jesus Christ. We want to do what's right. So how do we stand spiritually? Well, Paul's about to tell us. He tells the church at Ephesus here, verse 14. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Now, how do I know that I got the correct answer, right? How do I know that that truth isn't the Word of God? Well, because the last one is, not the last one, but the second to last one would be the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, the belt of truth is be a person of honesty. Now, this is what the Bible says. This is a defense. I want you to know this. This is important that Christians, that believers, that follower of Jesus be known to be people of their word, to be known to be people of character, to be known to be people that can be trusted. That's not the case with a lot of people that claim the name of Jesus Christ. And it is a weakness, and it will lead to destruction if we're not people of truth. So you want to know the weapons, it's the belt of truth. We need, everything is held up on our integrity, on our honesty. Here's what I love. It's a great defense. Did you know that? It's just being honest, just being truthful is a great defense. That's not too tough, is it? Until you want to lie. You know what happens? Some of us, we got that pattern. That man, when things go wrong, we lie. You all know this. What does lying always lead to? A mess, right? Destruction. Man, lying sounds so good at times, but it never works. The first weapon the Bible says is truth. Now let's look at verse 14. He says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Easier said than read than done. The breastplate of righteousness. So it's righteousness is the second one. Righteousness. So it's be a person of integrity, be a person of truth, but it's righteousness. Christian, this isn't difficult. Do what's right. You do what's right, you're going to be spiritually blessed. I love God, and that it's not too difficult. Now, here's the difficult part of Christianity. Lee, I'm only worried about what you are doing. You know, isn't that what we do? I'm not necessarily worried about what I'm doing, but I know you're wrong. And you're wrong. And you're wrong. And you're wrong. And we're worried about everybody else's righteousness versus our own, right? No. Here's what the Bible says is, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Do right. This will protect you. Be a person of truth and integrity and of character and of honesty. And be a person of righteousness. Just do right. And if we're honest, we need to repent of sin every day. That's the battle. But I want you to know this. This is important. Just do right. Now, remember, I want you to know, remember this, is most of the Bible written to Christians or written to people that aren't Christians? It's written to Christians. See, for some of you, if you aren't a Christian here, you say, well, I'm going to get to heaven by doing right. You will not. But see, it changes when you become a Christian. Then we want to do what's right to honor Jesus Christ, but we fail every day. You see, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags, but I'm telling you, a protection of us is to do what's right. So I want you to know this. This is important. You don't get to heaven by doing what's right. The only way to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You must be born again. You must have a personal relationship with Christ. You must repent of your sins. You must make Jesus your master. Understand this, but you see things change when you become a Christian. If you want to protect yourself, do right. Third thing, let's look at this. I think it's verse 15. And look at verse 15, and he says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I love this because some said peace. Now, and that was okay. I love this because you're just remembering, right? You didn't look at this. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What's that go? Now, I want to ask you this. When you go somewhere, where do your feet go? Are you sure about that? Have you ever left your feet behind before? Just a couple times. Have you ever left your feet behind before? How many of you have foot pain? Any foot pain here? Foot pain, right? All right, well, you'd like to leave your feet behind, right? You can't, right? So what does that mean? Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Here's what it means. I believe this with all my heart. I believe this is consistent with the Word of God. Everywhere you go, you take the gospel with you. And I want to let you know this. So this is important for you to know. That is a spiritual weapon, and it will protect you. You need to be gospel-centered, gospel-focused. Everywhere you go, be ready, be prepared. Your feet go wherever you go. Take the gospel of the peace with you. And you know what I love? The gospel is a message of peace, is it not? It's not a message of warfare. We're not going to get somebody by the sword and try to make them submit. That's never with the heart. But Christian, here's what the Bible says. This is important. You know, because the scriptures pound on this. Christian, you know what the issue is in the 21st century? We don't tell anybody about Jesus. And then we wonder, why am I being attacked by the devil? It's probably because we don't have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I want you to know this. You don't share the gospel, you are vulnerable. You don't have all the weaponry. You don't have all the armor. So, truth, righteousness, and the gospel. Now let's look at the fourth. These are important. Now remember, why is this so important? Paul said, I beg you. I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. Your weapons aren't carnal. That's what we do. We cut somebody down with our words. We want to beat somebody up with our fist. We want to, you know, whatever it is, we want to do the fleshly things, but not the spiritual things. See, be a person of integrity, be a person of righteousness, be a person that takes the gospel everywhere. Now look at the fourth one. He says in verse 16, above all. Now man, the above all, always, above all. Here's what Paul says through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith. Now remember this. I don't believe this is talking about saving faith. Because this armor of God is written to Christians. So the shield of faith, that you may be able to stop the fiery darts of the devil, all that is we must trust God, because you know what? There's so many things about life that I don't understand and you don't either. And so if you're not careful, the devil begins to do just what he did to Eve. He says, hath God said? Is that really what the Bible says? Can you really trust God? Oh, are you sure about that? You know what? Can you really trust the Lord? It's the shield of faith. We must trust the Lord when things get crazy. When things don't make sense. Not just for one day, but for 2 months, for 6 months, for 12 months. You know, Will Peters, they were just up here and for the Thanksgiving holidays, and so Will had done so much on the work. But you know this, when Will was traveling up here from South Carolina, his car engine blew up, right? Well, just Friday, some of you may have known through Facebook, but he was with, I think at least Luke was in the work van with him. Lady ran a red light, boom, hit him head on. He sent me pictures of his shin. His shins are all busted up. And I told Will this. I said, well, hey, here's the good news, after we had talked a while. So, you know, I'm not suggesting necessarily do this. I know Will well enough. I said, here's the good news. You are on the devil's radar. He said, I guess that's good news. ... And here's why. It's one of the greatest ways we can honor Christ is when it doesn't make sense. That we will trust Him. That we'll be faithful. And, I mean, who wants to have their engine blown up with one car, then you kind of get in a wreck with the church, with his work vehicle and the other, you know, and, I mean, who wants that? Anybody want that? Anybody want to sign up today, say, hey, you know, the Lord told me today somebody has to get their car totaled. Who wants to volunteer? I don't think anybody, you know, if you're like Steve Hall, I'd say, would it be my fault or theirs? Do they have full coverage? Will I be hurt? You know, I'd want to know all the details. And I'm okay, you know, I'm okay if it works out. But most of you aren't that way. But it's we wouldn't sign up for it, right? But we must trust the Lord when it doesn't make sense. Because you know this, that's part of the armor. The devil, all he needs to do is get you to doubt God. He just needs you to say, you know what? I'm not so sure about this Bible. I'm not so sure about that message. You know what? I mean, you make it sound so easy, so nice. But you know what? That's because your life, you never have problems. Now, I haven't had the problems that most of you have had. I haven't. I don't stand here and say, oh, you know, my life's been a life full of tribulation. It hasn't. And so, but I want to teach the Bible. It's the shield of faith. Now let's look at the fifth one. Now this is fun. Look at the fifth one. It says here, and it says, and take the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. Now this is key. Helmet of salvation. What's that about? Here's what I believe. I believe this. It's that you must protect your mind. That's what the helmet would protect, right? Your brain, right? And here's what I believe. You know what's important, Christian? That you always are conscious and always aware that you are a Christian, that you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, and won't that make a difference? Won't that be great? Won't that be a great benefit for you from in terms of the armor of God, the helmet of salvation? You see, it's not that he was writing to Christians, you better keep that helmet on because you just might lose it. No, it's this. It's you better, you know what? You forget you're a Christian, you won't behave like a Christian. You remember you're a Christian. There's a privilege of being a Christian, right? Then what we'll do is we'll remember. And so he says, the helmet of salvation, let me tell you, a great defense is, why don't we remember that we represent Jesus Christ and why don't we behave like it? You see, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Now we just have two more. Let's look at this. And so look at this in verse 17. He says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And so Sandy, I will give you this benefit of the doubt. The sword of the Spirit, right? So you know, the Holy Spirit was part of that. But the sword of the Spirit, it says, which is the Word of God. You know, I harp on that regularly. If you're not in the Word of God, you're vulnerable. You're vulnerable. If you're not in the Bible, you're vulnerable. And coming to church isn't nearly enough. Here's what I'll make a deal with anybody. If you only eat the number of times you come to church, and you can live on that, then I will shut up and I'll say, whoa, you can tell I ate more than 3 times this past week. Right? So if you can live on that, there's my challenge. It's my challenge on the internet. If there's anybody, and you'll be like, well, you wait till you see this, right? I'm going to all you can eat ribs. And so, you know, it's, if you can just eat 3 times a week and just be just healthy and fine, then all you need to do is just come to church 3 times a week and that's it. You will be you'll be physically malnutritioned and you will die. Same thing spiritually. You see, we are out there, you know, I mean, I think a Christian ought to show up at their jobs on time. I think a Christian ought to be a great employee. I think a Christian ought to take care of the things God's given them. But we're more worried about that stuff than we are about the spiritual warfare and the spiritual weapons God's given us. I want to tell you, if you're not in the Word of God, don't be surprised if you aren't, you know, if you feel like you're getting hit. I've been hit! Well, that's because you don't have the armor on. What pieces of armor are you missing? And then finally, the seventh, I love this. Look at verse 18. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer. Prayer. Are you talking to the Lord? Are you always talking to the Lord? If you're not, you need to be. He needs to be speaking to you through His Word, and you need to be talking to Him. I want you to know this. When you have problems, when you have difficulties, these are the 7 responses that you need. You know what? We get discouraged, we get depressed, we get upset, right? But I want to tell you, these are the 7 things that we need. These are the weapons of our warfare. Now quickly, turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm not far from a close. I'll be finished before 1. You only hear the laughter with people that have watches. Nobody has watches on anymore. Isn't that good? That's why the clock is not here and it's back there. And so I am watching it, and so it's good, but I want you to know this. Look at verse 4 again. He says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now look at verse 5. Our men, I think some of our men will know, we've heard this so much in the Conquer series. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I want you to know this, the battle is in the brain. The battle is in the brain. I'm probably going to continue this a little bit more next week, and we'll continue through here, but here's the key. What are your struggles? They begin right here. The battle's in the brain. Our men know this. You got a bad habit? The battle's in the brain. Now I want you to know this. You guys, everybody, if you're honest, you know what your besetting sins are. Here's what the Bible says. Look at verse 5. He says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. This is important. When something bad comes through your mind, when a bad thought goes through your mind, or you say, I'm going to do this, what the Bible says is, he says this, that you must cast down those imaginations. They're evil imaginations. They're evil thoughts. They go against things that will exalt God. They go against what you know the Bible to say. What the Bible says is capture it and cast it down. It says in bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The battles in the brain. Paul said this. I beg you, you need to get this. I think our men may understand this better. It was one of the best series I've ever seen. Now that series was on purity with men. But I'm telling you, the coolest part of the whole series was the brain and how God has wondrously created the brain. It applies to every single habit, good or bad, that we have. It all begins in the brain. Now, I want to tell you, the way the devil begins to attack is through your mind. Evil thoughts. Very rarely does someone murder someone spur of the moment. That happens. Most of the time it's premeditated. They've thought about it. And 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 finally they act on it. Same way with all sin. You think on it. 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 And then you act on it. Husbands, wives, if you continually think negative about your spouse, do you wonder why you don't like them? Do you wonder why, you know, I mean, look, I'll bring it home. You have a child that you don't like? You'd say, oh no, I love them all. I haven't liked my children all the time. And you know what I have found? It doesn't help for me to think about how I don't like them. Because if I want to think, oh, I don't like them. 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 And then I wonder, you know, when they show up, I'm like, hey, how you doing? I don't like you. But I don't usually say that, right? It all begins in the brain. What the Bible says is this, that you've got to cast down these imaginations. When that sin comes to your mind, cast it down. When that bad thought comes to your mind, capture it and bring it into obedience. And now look at verse 6 and we'll finish with this. Here's the goal. I want you to grasp verse 6, and our men will know when they hear this from the video series. It says this, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. How many of you, if I would have asked before this, just be honest, I probably should ask so that when nobody raises their hand, that means you all agree. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. All right. How many knew that there was good revenge that people could have in the Bible? I knew it. You all agreed. So now, there is a good revenge. The Bible says this, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right? But there's a good revenge that you can have. Did you know that? Verse 6. You must have good eyes. That baby's getting in the way. I'm just kidding. Here we go. Verse 6, he says, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You understand this? There's no revenge against people. You all knew that. We never have revenge against people. But what the Bible says is this, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Now here's the beautiful thing. Here's the beautiful thing. This will be powerful. And this is what I think is happening by God's grace with some of our men. That we men, we struggle with sin, we struggle with issues, and we never thought we would have victory, but many of our men are having victory, and I'm thrilled about it, and it's exciting to me. And here's what I love. The men, including myself, we have victory. You know what we want to do? We want to help other men. We want to have revenge against that sin. We want to have revenge against that disobedience, and the way to do it is we've got to know the spiritual weapons, and we've got to understand it all starts in the mind, and when we have victory, when we finally have victory over that sin that used to destroy us, then we can have revenge, and revenge is through obedience. I want you to know this. If you are caught in sin this morning, Christian, if you say, you know what, I'll never have complete victory. Talk to a young man, and it's just the battle, right? This battle of purity, right? Talk to a young man, doesn't go to church here or anything, so you won't know who it is. And talk to a young man, and he was satisfied. He said, you know, preacher, I only have bad internet days once a month now. Because I said, do you have a victory? He said, I am. And he said, you know, I'm only messing up on the internet once a month. I didn't say anything. But you know what he bought? He could never have complete victory. Once a month is pretty good compared to what it was. I want you to know this. I don't want you to ever give up that you can't conquer the sin that so easily besets you. Paul said he begged the church at Corinth. You understand this. The church at Corinth was like living in the heart of Las Vegas or New Orleans or wherever a wicked place is. It was like they were living there. And so, you know, for them, they were distinctively different, but they were still caught into so much carnality, so much fleshly sin, so much evil. But what they said was, it's way different than it used to be. And Paul says, I beg you to listen. Don't you ever believe the lie that says you can't have victory over your sin. I didn't say we'll be sinless. We won't be sinless until we get rid of this flesh. But I'll tell you this, I want you to know we can have victory over our sin. But we've got to understand our weapons aren't carnal. Our weapons aren't fleshly. And you know what? Here's one of the mottos of the video series the men watched. You know what, men? We know this. Guess what? Another effort is just try harder, right? We men are like, I'm gonna have victory over this. I'm gonna try harder. See, that's the flesh, isn't it? I can do this. And then you fall again. You mess up again. You see, that's because it's a weapon of the flesh. I think we ought to try harder. But consistent with the Bible, we ought to try harder to have these spiritual weapons, this spiritual warfare. You following me? We ought to try harder in disciplining the brain when these evil imaginations, these evil thoughts come to our mind and these evil plans and these evil reactions and these evil things that come to our mind. We need to work in disciplining our mind. I want you to know this is we are in spiritual warfare. The way the devil's won in America in 2017, the way he's won is the average Christian in America is hardly any different than the person that's not a Christian. One of the number one things I hear from people when they find out I'm a preacher, they'll go, well, you know why I don't go to church? Because everybody that goes to church, they're just phonies and they're hypocrites. Because you know why? We're not having victory. We've accepted that, you know, I'm doing better. I'm glad you're doing better. And I you know, life is a journey. I don't want any of us to accept sin to be okay. Our weapons aren't carnal. They are spiritual. And the battle's in the brain. Let's pray.